But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. He is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Happy Easter, my friends. I'm so happy to be here during this on this beautiful Easter day, Easter Tuesday. And as you know, every day this week is an Easter day. One big, long Easter day, right through the octave on Sunday. So I do hope and pray you are still feasting and celebrating and giving all glory to God for the greatest event in human history. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and he has opened up the gates of heaven for us. So we thank God and thank our Lord for the great gift of the resurrection of our salvation. If you're looking for us on YouTube today, we're not there. No video today. We're, you know, on the eve of our radiothon here. So some things being done in the studio just to so there's no video. Just can't go into all that detail. But anyway, so we're not – don't get upset. No video today. But it's our choice because of the studio situation. So anyway, yes, and tomorrow, my friends, we start our annual Spring Radiothon. This is our biggest fundraising event of the year. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Bruce DiBacco, Cheryl, and I will be here. And now, remember, we don't preempt all of our programming for 3 days. You still are able to hear parts of your favorite program. We just kind of come in and out and share with you what our financial needs are, and they are great. We are praying, my friends, for the most successful radiothon yet, but we can't do it without you. So please spread the word. Let your family, your friends, your acquaintances, your organizations, your parishes, everybody know that Catholic radio in our area needs your help, your financial help over the next 3 days to help us keep these airwaves open so we can continue to proclaim the glorious Easter message that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's why we're here. We want to proclaim that message loudly, boldly, without compromise, in season and out of season. And that's why domestic church media exists, to evangelize. So keep us in prayer, my friends, and I ask you to open your hearts to pray, ask the Lord what he would have you do to help us out during these upcoming 3 days of Radiothon, because we are a non-profit, non-commercial organization and radio station, so we can't sell commercial time, we can't sell ads. We just count completely and totally on you, our family of listeners, to open up your hearts, and especially during this glorious Easter season, to thank the Lord in a special way with a gift to domestic church media so we can proclaim that message. Let's first pray, my friends. I'll talk a little bit more about the Radiothon and then share with you also the Holy Father's. There's so much to share with you from over the weekend, but I'll just do a few things with you and then a nice reflection by Father Fernandez today from In Conversation with God on this Easter Tuesday. So we're praying our prayer, our deliverance prayer, parents' deliverance prayer. And again, I invite you to raise up all of your special intentions, and especially those family intentions. Family is under attack. Satan hates the family. He wants to destroy the family. So we pray this beautiful deliverance prayer for deliverance for ourselves, our spouse, and our minor children over whom we have authority. And then also ask the Lord to help us cast out any evil from that may be affecting our adult children, and pray for family unity. You know, most of us were with family on Sunday, celebrating the first day of Easter, Easter Sunday. Sometimes families have some difficulties, but family is family. And you, just stay united. So we're praying for that family unity. Let's begin, my friends, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I call out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I ask especially for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, we do raise up those special intentions that you have in your heart right now. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family and the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And let's pray our prayer, my friends, to Saint Michael and to Our Lady, as Holy Father asks us to pray these particular prayers to protect the church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And let's pray our memorare to St. Joseph. Very powerful prayer for all of your needs as well, my friends. St. Joseph, who is the patron of families. Remember, O most illustrious patriarch, St. Joseph, on the testimony of St. Teresa, your devoted servant, that never has it been heard that anyone who invoked your protection or sought your intercession has not obtained relief. In this confidence, I come to you, my loving protector, chaste spouse of Mary, foster father of the Savior of men and dispenser of the treasures of his most sacred heart. Despise not my prayer, but graciously hear and answer my petition. And let's now raise up those special family intentions, my friends, and ask for the powerful intercession of the patron saint of family, St. Joseph. Let us pray. O God, who by your ineffable providence chose St. Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant, we beseech you, that he whom we venerate as our protector on earth may be our intercessor in heaven. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my brothers and sisters, I thank you so much for praying today on this Easter Tuesday. Always a joy to have you here together as we start our week together, another very special week, because it is Easter week. Every day this week is an Easter day. Within the octave of Easter, every single day is an Easter day. The church celebrates it because it is such a great solemnity that throughout this week, it's as if it's one Easter day, one big Easter day. And this year, we've chosen this week to have our annual spring radiothon. We ask you, my brothers and sisters, in the spirit of Easter, in the spirit of the risen Christ, to help us do what Jesus commissioned all of us to do before he ascended into heaven, when he said, go out into the whole world and bring the good news. And that is what this radio station does, my friends. And we have been doing for over 20 years now. And when you pray for us and when you support us financially, you are doing exactly what Jesus commissioned us to do. Each and every disciple from that moment on, down through the ages to the present day, go out into the world and bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And Domestic Church Media does that, my friends, but we cannot do it without you. So I ask you, please, over the next 3 days, starting tomorrow, to participate, to tune in, listen to the excitement as we have many testimonies, people who will share their stories about what the Lord has done in their lives through this apostolate because of you and because of your donations, because of your financial support, because of your prayers for Domestic Church Media. We've been a part of this New Jersey and Pennsylvania community for many years now. And to be able to do what we do is an honor and a privilege for us. And it's not a job. The work sometimes can be very taxing and tiring. That's okay. That's okay. You know, I accepted the task many years ago when the Lord gave it to me. And here we are so many years later. I'm older, much older, but wiser, I think, in many ways. And I've learned to trust. You know, there used to be we'd come to these points, and we are. You know, we're the same place we usually are at this point. You know, when we have our radiothon, we're getting down to the bottom of the till here, and we count on the radiothon to, you know, restock our coffers so we can continue for another few months here. But the Lord gives me the grace to trust. And I do trust in you, my friends, because you love Jesus. And during this beautiful season of Easter, you understand the, especially given the state of the world today, we need Catholic radio and Catholic media now more than ever. So I just ask you, please, over the next number of hours leading up to the beginning of the radiothon tomorrow morning and over the next 3 days, to please pray for us. Please pray for us. We just cannot stress enough how important it is that people support this work. Your parishes, your prayer groups, your schools, your organizations, your associations, this can affect everybody. And it's so important that we're here to continue to bring this good news out into our listening area, which is what we've been doing for many years. But of course, with all the technology that we use now, we're going all over the world, all over the world. Our free mobile app, our free Domestic Church Media mobile app, has been downloaded on every continent except Antarctica. People are listening to us all over the world, perhaps right now, and they're praying with us and praying for us and asking for prayer, and we're bringing the light of Christ to them. So I just ask you, please. And I've been telling people, you know, that as most of you know, the $1.1 billion Powerball ticket was purchased right here in the heart of our listing area in Neptune, New Jersey. It is my prayer that the individual who bought that ticket, who holds that $1.1 billion Powerball ticket, is a Domestic Church Media family member, a listener. Maybe you'll call in during the radiothon and make a pledge of a particular amount that you could now afford. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be neat? Or maybe you know. Maybe some of you listening know who it is. It's not, obviously, they've not been identified yet. And I don't believe they have to in New Jersey. But we're praying that the winner of that Powerball is someone who will use the money for God's work. And, you know, we certainly are doing that. So thank you for all your prayers, my friends. Let's go to Holy Father. There's so much that Pope Francis taught over the weekend. But let's go to yesterday, Easter Monday. You know, it's still, again, every day is an Easter day. So the Holy Father, you know, is always teaching, but especially during these Easter days. And yesterday he said that the resurrection of Jesus is not just a happy ending, but is an event that changes our lives completely and forever. It's an event that changes our lives completely and forever. Think about why you're listening to this radio program, why you listen to Domestic Church Media. Why? Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's changed our lives. It's not just a happy ending of a story. It's a life-changing event. And that's why we're doing what we do. That's why you're listening. That's why you support us. Holy Father said, Jesus broke through the darkness of the tomb and lives forever. With him, every day becomes a step in an eternal journey. Every today can hope for tomorrow, and every end a new beginning. Every instant is projected beyond the limits of time toward eternity. You know, I was thinking about this over the weekend. I had a lot of time to think because, you know, Christmas and Easter are always Cheryl's busiest days. You know, she's a director of music and organist and choir director. And especially when you get into the Easter Triduum, I mean, it's a whirlwind for her. So we obviously spend some time together on Easter Sunday, but leading up to that, it's kind of tough to be together because she's so busy. So I have a lot of time. I was cooking. I was making the sausage and peppers for we had Easter at my sister's house, and I was making sausage and peppers on Saturday. And I must say, they came out very well. Sausage, nothing like sausage and peppers. And I made it with the sauce and without the sauce, because some people don't like the sausage and pepper with the sauce. So it's just sausage, pepper, and onion I made. And, you know, that by itself you can have as a dish or put it in a sandwich or something. But I also made it with the sauce. So that's how. And as I'm doing that, I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is, my goodness, it's already April. Another 8 months, December, I'll be 70 years old. And I don't feel 70 mentally. I don't even think I feel 70 physically. I mean, I've slowed down a bit, obviously, but I don't have any real aches and pains or any major medical issues. But I thought, okay, this is probably like, you know, when you hit 70, I mean, Scripture tells us, you know, Lord, you give us 70 years in this world, 80 if we're strong. The Psalm says that. I'm hoping more for 80 than just 70, but whatever the Lord wants at this point. You know, I went to confession, had a nice penance service a week ago before Easter. Always trying to be ready as I can be in case the Lord comes knocking on the door. And I think, okay, but you know what? Then that's going to be the beginning. Mother Angelica, I was watching Mother Angelica one day last week, and she was maybe I was listening to her, I think, on the radio. But she was talking about when we get to heaven. And, you know, initially, our soul will enter into the glory of God. Our spirit, our soul, that God infused in us at the moment of our conception. Our body remains here on earth and turning to dust. But our soul is alive, we're alive, and we have our intellect and our memory. And we be living in an existence that is beyond all understanding. I mean, St. Paul tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard what's in store for us who love God. And, you know, death is inevitable. Everybody's going to die in this world, a physical death. But we know, as followers of Jesus, that because of what we just remembered, what we just had in our triduum, our Lord's passion and death, so that he could resurrect from the dead, conquer death, conquer sin, open up heaven for us. And because of that, we live our lives to be worthy of our baptismal call as a Christian, to be a disciple, a faithful disciple of Jesus. And our life does change with that wonderful realization. And the closer we get to the end of our life, and, you know, as I said, I'll be 70, and that's, you know, kind of like the last lap, I guess, if you go by decades, you know. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. But it's because of what we just celebrated, the resurrection of Jesus, and still celebrate. We are. Today's an Easter day. We're still celebrating it. What awaits us is just beyond understanding. And so I was thinking about that. Mother was talking about the perfection that we'll experience in heaven. She said, you know, whatever those little things we have that are, whether it be, you know, having to wear glasses or losing your hair or, you know, those people who have difficulty with walking or you know, other physical ailments, all gone, all done. Won't have it in heaven. And then that great, great and glorious day on the last day when our Heavenly Father recreates our bodies and reunites our bodies with our soul and will be in a glorified state as Jesus is now, ever since the resurrection. Something so much to look forward to, right? The Holy Father said, the joy of the resurrection is not something far away. It's very close. It's ours because it was given to us on the day of our baptism. And when you think about that, my friend, you think about the beauty of this great gift that Jesus has given us because of his passion and his death. He had to go through that in order for there to be a resurrection. And the Holy Father offered advice for how to fuel the joy of Christ's resurrection during the Easter season. Now, you know, it's going to be, well, now it's less than 50 days, but 50 days from Easter Sunday to the Feast of Pentecost. And the Holy Father said that the joy of Easter can be nurtured by encountering the risen one in the Eucharist, in the confessional, in prayer, in charity. You know, every Christian, every person who considers him or herself a disciple of Jesus Christ, especially this week, should have a smile on their face from ear to ear because Christ is risen from the dead. Christ has conquered sin and death. And this joy that we should be experiencing right now on this Easter Tuesday, Holy Father said, can be nurtured throughout the Easter season, throughout Eastertide, right up to Pentecost, by encountering the risen one, encountering the risen Christ in the Eucharist. You know, when we go to Mass and at the moment of consecration, when ordinary bread and wine become transubstantiated by the power of the Holy Spirit through the anointed hands of the priest and become the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, that same Jesus Christ who suffered and died for us, that same Jesus Christ who was placed in the tomb, that same Jesus Christ on that first Easter Sunday rolled away the stone, rose from the dead, made present to us under the appearances of ordinary bread and wine, but true body, blood, soul, and divinity present to us in the Eucharist, in Holy Communion. What a great honor and privilege that is that the Lord gives us every time we go to Holy Mass and gives us the opportunity to go and be with him in front of a tabernacle or especially in adoration. We see the sacred host exposed in the monstrance, Jesus Christ really, truly, substantially present there to us. So this Easter joy, Holy Father said, can be experienced in the Eucharist, also in the confessional, the sacraments. You know, we go, and as we're going to be celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday this Sunday. Perhaps many of you are making the Divine Mercy Novena that began on Good Friday. We're going to remember that beautiful revelation of Jesus to St. Faustina about his divine mercy, his unfathomable mercy. We experience that in the confessional every time we go. Jesus waits there for us. As we come to him in the confessional with a repentant heart, a contrite and repentant heart, and we confess our sins and we express sorrow for our sins, we make a firm purpose of amendment at that moment, and we hear those beautiful words spoken by the priest, but Christ himself saying, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're washed clean. We should be floating on air out of that confessional because our sins have just been washed away. And we experience the risen Christ in that sacrament. Holy Father said we experience the risen one and encounter the risen one in prayer. I was reading a quote by Padre Pio today, and I have to quote it verbatim. I don't have it in front of me, but he had said that it's the greatest power we have is prayer. And the formal prayers that we pray, that we all know, we learn, you know, that we pray, whether it be our fathers and our Hail Marys and Glory Bees or our Liturgy of the Hours, whatever prayers we pray. But also just as powerful, Padre Pio said, are the prayers from our heart, just speaking to the Lord from our heart, that only he can hear. And he says sometimes that's even more powerful, having that encounter with Christ in that form of prayer, in all prayer, but even just heart to heart. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows our silent prayers. And Holy Father said we can encounter the risen one in charity, in giving to others of what you have, what their needs may be, whether it be just your presence with someone who's suffering or mourning or sad or confused and looking for advice, or someone who wants to share a joy with you, or giving of what you have. You know, we're very blessed in this country. For as much as we complain, and I was doing my taxes yesterday, and for as much as we complain about, having to, you know, do those types of things, we're very blessed in this country. Very blessed. You know, we have Cheryl and I sponsor a child down in El Salvador, and his name is Carlitos. He's 7 years old, and it's a beautiful organization that we work through called Compassion International. And we sent Carlitos, you know, for Easter, Christmas, special little extra gifts. But you know what they ask for? They don't ask for toys. They don't ask for, you know, Game Boys or whatever kids are playing with these days. They just ask for a chicken, $35 to buy a chicken, so they could have eggs throughout the year and other things like that. You know, we take for granted what we have here. But it's through charity, as Holy Father said, that we can encounter the risen one. Jesus is the source of a joy that never ceases, Holy Father said. So let us hasten to seek him. And my friends, that's a beautiful, beautiful message for us. He said, joy, when it is shared, grows. Let us share the joy of the risen one. So the joy that we have in our heart right now, my friends, the joy that is that great Easter joy that we experience because of the risen Lord, we should take that out into the world and share that joy with others. And in the sacraments, in Holy Eucharist, in confession, but also in prayer and charity, we encounter that risen one. We can bring that joy to others and share that joy with others. That's our baptismal call, especially during this Easter season. I'll take a break, my friends, and when I come back, we will go to In Conversation with God. So stay where you are. More to come on Come to Me. Don't go away.
"60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
In the history of the world, only one tomb has ever had a rock roll before it and a soldier set to guard it to prevent a dead man from rising. And that was the tomb of Christ on the evening of the Friday called Good. What spectacle could be more ridiculous than armed soldiers keeping their eyes on a corpse? But sentinels were set, lest the dead walk, the silent speak, and the pierced heart quicken to the throb of life. They said he was dead. They knew he was dead. They said he would never rise again. And yet they watched. They remembered that he called his body the temple, and that in 3 days after they had destroyed it, he would rebuild it."
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
One of the things that we often think about in our spiritual lives is how to do something big for God. But really, most of the time, we should focus on how we can do something small for God. It's these small things that help us consecrate our ordinary daily activities and help us do everything for Jesus Christ.
Catholic Answers Live.
Heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weeknights at 6.
When you give in to thinking that's ripping you to shreds, that deflates your confidence, that caves into all your fear, you're not just thinking negatively. You're thinking in a way that's unholy. God wants His people to face everyday life not just redeemed from sin, but with redeemed attitudes, redeemed thinking, a redeemed sense of who they are. Stop beating yourself up between your ears all day. No wonder why you look tired all the time. St. Paul wrote, "We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." You should think like someone who believes in a God who created you with purpose, who gives meaning to every experience, even suffering, who bestowed dignity and royalty upon you, and who destined you for eternal glory. And why should you think that way? Because it's all true. So when the way you think builds you up instead of ripping you down, that's not just positive thinking. That's godly and holy thinking. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio. The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain.
Heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weekday mornings at 7.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
It's like the brides, you know, 10 were very, very fervent, and they had oil in their lamp, and they had oil, extra oil. Here were 10 that didn't, they had oil in their lamps, but no extra oil. Here the bridegroom is coming, and those who had just the oil in their lamp all went out. And they said, give me some of your oil. And he said, hey, we can't, lest we too run out. Now, the first thought in your mind is, they're uncharitable. Why didn't they share, right? I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing. But see, when we die, my friends, when the bridegroom calls you and me, there's no more time to get oil. You've had 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You got to repent. You got to go ahead of time and put oil in that lamp.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Welcome back. He is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Happy Easter on this Easter Tuesday, my friends. A beautiful week, a joy-filled week. I hope you are still celebrating this glorious day, this glorious Easter day. It's sad to see, you know, people, kids going back to school already. When I was in school, everybody had off Easter week. I mean, even public schools were closed on Easter week, the whole week, because it was Easter week. Not anymore, sadly. And this is why we need a strong, vibrant Catholic presence in the media to proclaim that message, because nobody else is doing it. You know, the mainstream media, the secular media, Easter was over before it even began. They didn't even recognize Easter. Look at what was being declared by the White House and Transgender Reveal Day, whatever they were calling it, Easter Sunday. My goodness. So we need this Catholic radio station, this Catholic media apostolate. And again, my friends, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, we will be having our annual spring radiothon. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. I think the last count I had, I believe a little over $50,000 in matching gift pledges already, which means that we'll go on the air tomorrow, 7 a.m. Your donation dollar will be doubled right away, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So if you donate 50, it really becomes 100. If you donate 100, it really becomes 200. If you donate $1,000, it really becomes $1,000, $2,000. So we have some wonderful, generous souls out there who have pledged already up to a little over $50,000 so far. If you'd like to add to that, and what that means is, you say, look, I want to pledge $1,000. What that means is, as a matching gift, I'll pledge it, but I won't give it to you until you raise it. So you have to raise $1,000, and then I'll give you $1,000. So you can have people who donate. Maybe you don't have someone who can do the whole $1,000 as a donation, can do 50 here or 100 there, and that adds up. So every one of those donations will be doubled. So pray about that too, you know, and get on board early. Join us at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Bruce DiBacco, Cheryl, and I will be here. And we will be hosting for the next 3 days. And again, we're not preempting all of our programming. So don't say, okay, I'll just turn the station off until Monday. Don't do that. Join us. We have wonderful testimonies and other surprises along the way. And your favorite programs, parts of your favorite program, will still be heard at their normal time, whether it be, Sunrise Morning Show or Father Ricardo or the Pop Checks, or the Rosary. We don't preempt at all. The Rosary is still on at 9:30 and 3:30, so you can still pray the Rosary. The Chaplet's on at 3. We're going to come in and out. Because of your prayers and your support that we're even able to do that. On our free mobile app, we have in the upper left-hand corner, when you pull up our app, the upper left-hand corner, there are those four squares. You tap on that. A little drop-down menu appears. You can donate right from that, by the way, too. But also, there's a pray section. You tap on the pray section, and all types of prayers come up. But the rosary is there, and you tap on the rosary, and you can pray the rosary anytime on our free mobile app. And I use it all the time, daily. I go into the chapel here, and I'll open up our free mobile app and put on the rosary and pray along with it in the chapel. So that it, you know, sometimes when we do the rosary on our own, it's silently, it almost tends to rush through it. But when you're praying with something or someone else, a recording, it kind of slows you down a little bit. There's some reflections. I do that. But I was also thinking at 9:30 every day, we have Father Groeschel praying the rosary, as well as 3:30 every day. Think about all the people. If you have 10,000 people listening to domestic church media at 9:30 in the morning, there's 10,000 people praying the rosary. And hopefully we have more than that. You know, thousands of people tuned in at 9:30 in the morning, or thousands of people tuned in at 3:30 in the afternoon, all praying the rosary. What a powerful thing that is. You have thousands of people tuned in at 3 o'clock to domestic church media. They're all praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Thousands of people at the same time in our area. This is why the devil hates what we do. You know, when we first came to town over 20 years ago, the devil was sitting back with his feet up on the desk having a cigar. Everything was peachy keen for him. We walked in. God gave us the beautiful opportunity to come and do this. And we've been shaking up his world for a long time now, the devils. Can't stand it. Imagine thousands of people every day at 9:30 praying the rosary because it's on the air. Thousands of people every day at 3:30 praying the rosary. So we're not going to preempt that at all. We never do during the Radiothon. But I ask you, please, my friends, to pray, pray, pray. And, you know, if you are already a monthly donor, thanks be to God. Thank you so much. Would you consider increasing that monthly donation by $5, by $10 a month? That'd be a big help, if you can. Okay, let's go to In Conversation with God. Also pray for our voices. You know, when you do live radio from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. 3 days in a row, your voice gets a little tired. So pray for us, Cheryl, me, Bruce. So in Conversation with God today, Father Fernandez, on this Easter Tuesday, writes about the presence of Christ in our midst. This is really exactly what and I didn't plan this, but what Holy Father said yesterday about encountering Christ to continue that Easter joy. Father Fernandez writes, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who was made man in the virginal womb of Mary, is now in heaven with that same body which he assumed in the incarnation and which died on the cross and rose again on the third day. One day we too, like Mary Magdalene, will contemplate the sacred humanity of our Lord. And in the meantime, we may have to foster the desire of seeing him. And he quotes from Psalm 26. Seek ye my face, my heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Well, in heaven we shall see Jesus as he is, without any imperfection of image. It will be a meeting with someone who knows us and whom we know because we've already been with him on many occasions. Can you imagine what that first meeting face-to-face with Jesus will be like? Have you thought about that? I've thought about that. You know, we see images of Christ, artists, you know, interpretations of what Jesus looked like, whether it be sculpture, statue, painting. You go to the Shroud of Turin, and they now have, through the technology that they use, they can create a 3D image of the man who we believe to be Jesus, because we believe that, you know, don't have to believe it, but most people believe that is the actual burial cloth of Jesus, the Shroud of Turin. And they can take their 3D imaging and create the image of the man on the shroud. And so we have an image of what, if we believe that that is Jesus, that Jesus really looked like. They said the man on the shroud was about 5'11", with a beard and long hair, and has all the interesting with the shroud is that it has all the markings, wounds of those described in Scripture. The hands, the feet with the nails pierced, the side, the crown of thorn, puncture wounds from the crown of thorns on this man's head. Everything, the lashings on his back, everything, and they say that it does contain blood. I guess it's type AB blood, the shroud. They can date it back to the material, the cloth itself, dated back to right around that time when Jesus was alive and crucified and rose from the dead. They said there's no ink, there's no paint on it. It's not a forgery. It's not an image someone painted on there. They can't explain how the image got on there. So they create this 3D image, and you see what Jesus looked like. But again, just an image, a duplication of what a statue, basically. But one day we will see him as he truly is, face to face. That same Jesus. And, you know, as Mother Angelica was saying a while back, I was watching a program, she said, and he retained his wounds. When we get to heaven in our glorified state, all of our imperfections will be gone. All of our imperfections, whatever they may be gone, will be perfect in a glorified state. And Jesus, who now is in a glorified state, decided to have his wounds remain on his hands and his feet. Because that was the essence of everything we have based on what he did for us. And Father Fernandez says that when we meet the Lord for the first time, it'll be a meeting with someone who knows us and whom we know, because we've already been with him on many occasions. As well as being in heaven, Father writes, Christ is also really present in the Blessed Eucharist. The unique and indivisible existence of Christ the Lord, whereby he lives in the glory of heaven, is not multiplied by the sacrament, but rendered present in every place on earth where the Eucharistic sacrifice is celebrated. And this same existence remains present after the sacrifice in the most blessed sacrament, which is reserved in the tabernacle, the living heart of our churches. It is, then, our bounden and loving duty to honor and adore in the blessed bread, which we see with our eyes, the Word incarnate himself, whom we cannot see, but who nonetheless, without leaving heaven, is made present before us. And that's a quote from St. Pope Paul VI. The presence of the living Christ is in the host is the guarantee, the source and culmination of his presence in the world. Christ lives, and he is present too with his power in the sacraments. He's present in the Word whenever sacred Scripture is read in the church. He's present whenever the church prays and comes together in his name. He lives also in each Christian in an intimate, deep, and ineffable way. He has fulfilled the promise that he made to the apostles when he was taking leave of them at the Last Supper, when he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God dwells in our souls in grace, and we should seek him there. We should listen to him there, because he does speak to us, and we will understand him if we keep our ears attentive and our hearts clean. It is the presence St. Paul is referring to when he says that each one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, Father makes an excellent point that when we first meet Jesus for the first time, face to face, to see him as he truly is, he will know us. It's not going to be like a meeting a stranger. He'll know us. He's God. And we'll know him because we've been with him for so long in our prayer, in our at our holy masses and adoration, to be with Christ in his word. We'll know him. It's like finally getting together with someone who you've corresponded with, and in many ways, you know, we've been with him for such a long time since our baptism, to then finally see him as he truly is. What a great encounter that will be. And then, get back to where I left off. Okay, so then Father says, when he considered the unspeakable presence of God in the soul, St. Augustine exclaimed, "Late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you. For behold, you were within me and I outside, and I sought you outside. You were with me, and I was not with you. I was kept from you by those things, yet had they not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called and cried to me and broke open my deafness. You sent forth your beams and shone upon me and chased away my blindness." That's from St. Augustine. Within our soul and the grace of our... In grace, our Lord is closer to us than a person standing beside us, closer than a child in its mother's arms or a brother or sister walking hand in hand. He is closer than our own very heart. Let us not neglect to speak with him constantly. And there, too, is a kind of refer back to that quote I shared with you from Padre Pio. Within our soul, in grace, our Lord is closer to us than a person standing beside us. You know, we're in the state of grace. God is within us. Our bodies are temple of his Holy Spirit. So let's not neglect to speak with him constantly. And as Padre Pio said, you know, it's the formal prayers are very, very powerful, but even almost more powerful are those silent prayers, the heart-to-heart, just between you and Jesus, speaking to him from your heart, which he can read. He knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows your innermost being. He's within us. Christ lives and in various ways is present among us and even within us. We should therefore set out to meet him, as it were, and try to be more aware of his ineffable presence so that, being more conscious of his presence, we will speak with him more and his love will grow in us. And then he quotes from the Confessions of... he quotes from Saint Jose Maria Escrivá. "We must seek Christ in the word and in the bread, in the Eucharist and in prayer, and we must treat him as a friend, as the real living person he is, for he is risen. Christ, we read in the letter to the Hebrews, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Constantly, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ, the risen Lord, is our companion and our friend. He's a companion whom we can see only in the shadows, but the fact that he is really there fills our whole life and makes us yearn to be with him forever. If we contemplate the risen Christ, if we try to look at him with an unclouded vision, we shall understand in a profound way that it is possible now to follow him closely, to live our lives close beside him in such a way they expand and acquire a new meaning." And this is a perfect week, my brothers and sisters, this beautiful Easter week, where every day is an Easter day, to really let that sink into our consciousness and not be swept away by the tide of the world and forget that it's Easter. It's still Easter. It's as much an Easter day today as it was on Sunday. That's what the church teaches us. Within this beautiful octave of Easter, it's as much an Easter day today as it was on Sunday, because it's one 8-day-long Easter day. So we must be celebrating that. As I said, we should have smiles on our faces from ear to ear, especially this week, because he is risen from the dead and he's with us. We can go spend time with him right now, the same Jesus who rolled away the stone and went back to the, rose from the dead and walked this earth in that glorified state. The same Jesus we can go spend time with. He's waiting for us in every tabernacle of every Catholic church, in every adoration chapel. He's waiting for us, and we can receive him in word and sacrament. So, my friends, as we approach our very special days over the next 3 days here at Domestic Church Media, our spring radiothon, our major fundraiser of the day, it is by your prayers and it'll be by your generosity that you will allow us to proclaim this message, the Easter message, proclaimed boldly and without compromise, in season and out of season, here on these radio stations and all of our media platforms. So when you pray for us, when you support us financially, you are heeding the great call, the great commission that Jesus gave to each one of his followers to go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news. So please join us tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, as I said. All of your favorite programs, parts of your favorite programs will still be aired at their regular time. We're going to come in and out, Bruce and Cheryl and I, and share with you what our needs are and how we're doing. It is, our major fundraiser of the year. We need to do it because we need your support. And if we don't have your support, we can't be here. And the message stops. But we can't let that happen now, especially in a world that so desperately needs to hear the Easter message. He is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Look forward to it. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God love you.